Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to our second reading, our Old Testament reading, 1 Chronicles chapter 17. Verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Now it came to pass as David sat in his house that David said to Nathan the prophet, Lo, I dwell in an house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains. Then Nathan said unto David, Do all that is in thine heart, for God is with thee. And it came to pass the same night that the word of God came to Nathan, saying, Go and tell David my servant, Thus saith the Lord, Thou shalt not build me an house to dwell in. For I have not dwelt in an house since the day that I brought up Israel unto this day, but have gone from tent to tent, and from one tabernacle to another. Wheresoever I have walked with all Israel, spake I a word to any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people, saying, Why have ye not built me an house of cedars? Now therefore thus shalt thou say unto my servant David, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, even from following the sheep, that thou shouldest be ruler over my people Israel. And I have been with thee whithersoever thou hast walked, and have cut off all thine enemies from before thee, and have made thee a name like the name of the great men that are in the earth. Also, I will ordain a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, and they shall dwell in their place, and shall be moved no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness waste them any more, as at the beginning. And since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, moreover, I will subdue all thine enemies. Furthermore, I tell thee that the Lord will build thee an house. And it shall come to pass, when thy days be expired, that thou must go to be with thy fathers, that I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me an house, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. And I will not take my mercy away from him as I took it away from him that was before thee. But I will settle him in mine house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forevermore. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak to David. And David the king came and sat before the Lord and said, Who am I, O Lord God, and what is mine house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And yet this was a small thing in thine eyes, O God, for thou hast also spoken of thy servant's house for a great while to come, and hast regarded me according to the estate of a man of high degree, O Lord God. What can David speak more to thee for the honor of thy servant? For thou knowest thy servant. O Lord, for thy servant's sake, and according to thine own heart, hast thou done all this greatness in making known all these great things. O Lord, there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee. According to all that we have heard with our ears, and what one nation in the earth is like thy people Israel, whom God went to redeem to be his own people, to make thee a name of greatness and terribleness by driving out nations from before thy people whom thou hast redeemed out of Egypt. For thy people Israel didst thou make thine own people forever, and thou, Lord, becamest their God. Therefore now, Lord, let the thing that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house be established forever, and do as thou hast said. Let it even be established that thy name may be magnified forever, saying, The Lord of hosts is the God of Israel, even a God to Israel. And let the house of David thy servant be established before thee. For thou, O my God, hast told thy servant that thou wilt build him an house. Therefore thy servant hath found in his heart to pray before thee. And now, Lord, thou art God, and hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Now therefore let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may be before thee forever. For thou blessest, O Lord, and it shall be blessed forever. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Well, so we have in this chapter what is typically called the Davidic covenant. You will note that the word covenant is not used in this passage. So what warrant do we have to call it a covenant? Well, we have two different lines of argumentation. The first is it has all the marks of a covenant, right? If it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck and it flies like a duck, it's got to be a duck. So all of the things that are here pertaining to this arrangement that God has made with David has a covenantal underpinning. And then we will turn also in the second argument to Psalm 89. And in Psalm 89, the word covenant is explicitly used for the house of David. Okay, so that helps us with our reasoning, doesn't it? It helps us with our understanding that while in Genesis chapter 3 at the fall and God's promise of a champion redeemer to come, although he does not use the word covenant there, still it is indeed a covenant made even at that time. So it is just a fascinating thing. The Lord would caution us here, even with the best of our intentions, to wait upon him for his commandment if we desire to make any change in his worship. We must look to find a commandment of his. Did David have good-heartedness in his desire to build God a house? He did. Solomon will make that plain later explicitly in his address at the commissioning of the house that Solomon built. He will say, "It was a good desire that my father David had in his heart." Yet even that good desire was contrary to the command and revelation of God. And so, beloved, we must understand that even well-meaning things the Lord may rebuke because it is not how he desires to be worshiped. It is not the procedure that he has commanded. It is not the way he has commanded. And here we note that it is not the time he has commanded. This will come, but it won't come through your hands, David. It'll come through your son's hands. And the reason it must come through Solomon's hands is because Solomon serves as a type of Christ, which is the true end of the promise. The promise that God makes to the son which comes after him is not Solomon particularly, but who Solomon represents by way of biblical typology. And we know this because the throne of Solomon does not go on forever, but the throne of Christ certainly does. And so we learn a little something, don't we? We learn a little something about how we regulate the worship of God, that we must look for a commandment. And beloved, in these days an advancement in some quarters to the regulation of worship, let us rejoice and pray that the Lord would continue to send that kind of reformation. But in other quarters, it is still going the other way. And so let us be steadfast and stalwart in our own insistence and watch care over our own hearts, that we're not drawn away from a complete commitment to the regulation of worship. What did the Lord say to David? "Wheresoever I have walked with all Israel, spake I a word to any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people, saying, Why have ye not built me an house of cedars?" And then he will say to David, "Thou shalt not build me a house of cedars." And then he will say, "But there is a son of yours coming who will build my house. And when he walked the earth in his days, he said, Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And so we ought not to enter then into conflict with him who is the one building his church through his appointed means. So the Lord has granted that there are builders in every age. The apostle will make this clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. "I planted, Apollos watered. Who am I? We're just builders, that's all. You're the building, Corinthian church. You're the building, we're the builders. the Lord has granted that we should build, but let every man take heed how he build thereon. And this is what the Lord tells David here. Take heed how you build. So, moving beyond that then, we see that we also learn hermeneutically how to understand this as a prophecy of Christ. So, it's not Solomon, but it is Christ. He shall build me an house, and I will establish his throne forever. I'm reminded, are you not, of Hebrews chapter 3, that Moses was a servant in the house, but Christ as a son over the house, the builder and maker of all things, who is God over the house. And this is Christ. And Christ is the one who will build that house. And notice he'll be settled in that house forever, and his throne shall be established evermore. And now we have David's response in verses 16 through the end. And his response, for the sake of time, will pull up under two heads. The first is humility, and the second is encouragement. Humility and encouragement. David remembers, doesn't he? He said, "Who is thy servant, and what is thy servant's house?" Okay, so let's remember something about David and his house. That David was the 10th generation from Perez. And that because Perez was an illegitimate child, that those illegitimate children could not come into the congregation of the Lord for 10 generations. David was the first of his line from the days of Perez that was able to enter into the congregation of the Lord. Who am I, and what is my house? Secondly, we remember that Jesse had 7 sons, and that David was the youngest, and that when Jesse was informed that the prophet Samuel was coming to anoint the next king, he didn't even think to bring David in. David was still out in the field tending sheep. Who am I, and what is my house? And so David receives this news that God gives him, that he's going to build him a house. Instead of David building a house for the Lord will build David a house, and that Davidic spiritual dynasty will culminate in Christ and will be a forever throne. David says, "Who am I, and what is my house?" Well, beloved, we might all answer with that answer. But the Lord tells David, "I'm going to have you treated as one of the great men of the earth." And is that not true even to this day? Do we not revere the name of David because of his being the sweet psalmist of Israel, a prophet of God, an upright man who, although fell and sinned, repented, and repented so deeply, leaving us 2 psalms to speak of his penitence as examples for us? Do we not think of David even today as one of the great men of the earth? Beloved, not a word of God falls to the ground. But do we not also think of his greater son in far, far greater terms than we think even of David? Because he is the one who builds a church against whom or against which the gates of hell shall not prevail. Then finally, we have David's encouragement. David draws near to the Lord, not because of himself. He says, "I'm drawing near to you now because you've spoken these things to me." This is the motivation for this prayer, because of your encouragements to me. And so what does David do? Something that we can all learn from, beloved. What is that? He receives the promises of God, and resting upon those promises, moves forward to commune with God on the basis of those promises. And beloved, you can do the same. "Oh, but Pastor, you just don't know what a sinner I am." Well, I may not. I know what a sinner I am. I know what a sinner David is. And I know what a great receiver Christ is when he says, "He who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out." I know that the chief of sinners was induced to say, as we'll see next hour, Lord willing, "Who art thou, Lord?" And so, beloved, let us remember that this procedure of David is the procedure for every Christian. We hear the promises of God. We hear that they apply to us. And then, based on God's faithfulness, we trust him to fulfill all he has spoken and draw near with that encouragement, with that hope, and with that confidence. Thus ends the reading then of 1 Chronicles chapter 17.